Now is the winner of our discontent in South Florida COVID quarantine nightmare. Got a little rain out there, which will save me money for the Broward County wastewater management people. F them. We got all that out of the way. We were going to have an interview today. The man was injured, could not make it. I don't fault him. I'm glad they were able to be competent enough to get a hold of me. Yeah, the reading glasses, what can I tell you? I'm going to do them once in a while because it makes my eyes look wider. So, what are we going to talk about instead? How about sugar? Your old friend, Mr. Sugar. Okay, for those of you who are starting in fitness, or trying to get yourself either less sedentary and maybe a little healthier, maybe your doctor told you you've got to do something new or we're going to throw you into the ground. Anything could go on. You're going to always have a minute where you decide it's time to try something. Hopefully, you've seen some of the other videos where we've discussed things like minimal incremental workouts to try to get you moving. I laugh about it because it's like I don't remember exactly which ones. I didn't number them. I didn't know I was going to be doing this many. And I'm sure some of you wish I would stop. But you know what? Change the channel. That's why it's there. America. Okay? So anyway, I'll give you a couple stories. You can figure out where you stand. Weight loss is weight loss. It is a hard road. Anyone who tells you anything is easy about it is a liar and has probably never had to lose weight. And as you get older, it gets harder. So those of you with overweight children, stop it. Stop it now. I've never seen so many obese children as I have in the last few years. And the guy says, well, you know, you're a little bit overweight. I'm more than a little bit overweight. But also, I'm not an 11-year-old. Okay? Function form, this, that, and the other thing, weight and tape. You can be a bigger size person if you were involved in strength sports. Look at linemen for the, look at the O-line, right? You got muscle under there. That's a different story than just being a little chunky, chubby kid, which is not going to help their self-esteem, which is not going to help their social standing, which is not going to help their self-image as they get older. Okay. I forget what it is. I wish I had it on obesity in young girls and the correlation with promiscuity because they'll do anything to be accepted. So there you go, right? I don't even have to say the H word, but you know, ho, 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 right? You don't want that, okay? You don't want it for you. You don't want it for your kids. You don't want it for whoever. So let's think about sugar. Let's just take a couple real quick thoughts about it. And what are you going to do? First of all, it's very hard right now to not have a processed meal unless you are cooking everything yourself because 90% of the stores that are open during the quarantine are fast food restaurants. A regular, not that a diner is super healthy or a regular sit-down restaurant is super healthy, but they are in much better social standing for the health world than the McDonald's. And all you have around here is a McDonald's, man. And if you have that once a week, that's enough. Lucky Publix has fried, even though Publix fried chicken gets a little bad. Once a week's enough of that. So anyway, the reliance in America on fast food, the amount of people that just sit around doing nothing. Hopefully you're jogging in place while you're listening to this thing, right? Because I know that's what everybody's doing. They're sitting on their exercise bike and they're listening to me give platitudes. So that's excellent. Anyway, where I was brought up when I was younger, Philadelphia is a city of bakeries. Okay, if you did not have Italian bread, if you did not have bagels, if you did not have, especially in the Northeast, they had cinnamon buns. They were called cinnamon buns, which I'm sure you've seen like Cinnabon, but they were better because they weren't totally made out of shit. Brownies, all that kind of stuff. There was a lot of German bakeries. There was a lot of Italian bakeries. So you had all those good quality breads that we think are good quality because they're delicious, and all the baked goods that the Germans had. So we had a couple of different varieties there. And so a lot of the younger people, older people, my grandmother, my mother, you know, them, it was nothing to have, I guess you would call it, I don't know what the Italians call it, like a baguette sitting there for dinner, you know, and they took into it and there you go. It was always that and the pastas and things like that because my grandmother, I lived in an Italian neighborhood, so they always did some kind of, or had been taught how to cook really more or less by Italians. And so there was always some kind of pasta, something, pasta vajoule, as they used to say. Get that pasta vajoule going. But we didn't call it gravy. That's South Philadelphia. So anyway, those things were in their life. So it really was affecting. My grandmother had diabetes, but she had acquired it after lung surgery. They took part of her lung out for cancer, which was crazy because she didn't really smoke. Anyway. And she walked forever, you know, ate whatever they ate in the old days. In the old days, you could eat whatever you wanted because you probably walked 5 to 10 miles a day because they didn't have driver's licenses in that area. That's how it was. So my mother got older. She had had knee replacements, this and the other thing. She had been putting on weight after she'd had her leg mangled in a work accident. And a lot of it was that kind of stuff. It was the breads. It was the goodies, as they would say. The goodies would get you. And being more sedentary, you know, because exercise, I don't think among the majority of people that were raised in the late 50s, early 60s, I guess you would say born in late 30s, early 40s, and after that, you exercised at gym and then you went and you played whatever, basketball afterwards or some other dumb stuff. They didn't really, and if you didn't play, you sat there and watched people play. That's kind of, from what I take away from the hearing of stories that I heard, there was, you played or you watched. You didn't sit at home, you played or you watched, or you did something else. And that's how it went. So you had this predilection for certain things in your meals all the time. And that's how it was. And unfortunately they realized as they've gone along between that, the amount of processed foods that are out there these days. And like I said, as you just get older, it puts on the weight. It does. So there's a couple problems there. Also, I recall what really brought it to my attention was after my mother had a surgery. When you get to a certain age and you're talking about your parents' surgeries, there's usually a few of them. People that are in their early 20s, you may not. Tough shit. So I think, after the open heart, she had open heart surgery and she picked up type 2 diabetes after the surgery. So we went to a class and I'm sure I mentioned this before. So I'm just going to go into it. So anyway, the class is paid for by your insurance. It's supposed to tell you how to knock it off, you know, type 2 diabetes, how to knock it off before it comes serious and takes your fingers and toes off. Because people don't remember that diabetes loves the taste of human flesh. I had a lady when I lived in New Jersey, Miss Shirley, the same last name as I did. They used to joke that was my name. Miss Shirley had diabetes. She had gone blind. And she still ate fried bologna and this and that. Yeah, she didn't change a damn thing, except she wasn't drinking anymore because she couldn't get around because they cut off both of her legs up to her ass slowly. I think they went up 1 foot. It was the toes, then it was the foot, then it was below the knee, then it was the leg, then it was the other toes, then it was the foot, then it was the knee, then it was the other leg, and then she was blind. Something like that. Some combination thereof. Horrible. Horrible. And she was a trooper, man. She was a trooper. But the point is, what the hell? Why didn't somebody say, hey, you know, freaking fried bologna ain't the way anymore, man? You know, I don't know. I can't tell you. So we go to this class and the lady, the nurse who was teaching it, gave zero Zulu Fox, as they say, Zulu Fox operation. And she's going to sit there, and I'm sitting down with my mother because I'm going to be attentive and this and that and the other shit. And there's a guy next to me who's easily 500 pounds because this was just a diabetes class. It wasn't a heart surgery thing. It was anybody who had diabetes had to go to this class, I guess, to, you know, wash your hands of these people. We did our due diligence. And he had a 64-ounce soda with him. And he's freaking, you know, tugging this 64-ounce Orange Crush, which is probably like Mountain Dew used to be, if you remember the old Mountain Dew. Orange Crush, I think, took over the crown after Mountain Dew was demilitarized. And I start hearing this noise, and here he's got a freaking alarm on him that his blood sugar is changing. So he just gives himself a little shot. So he's like edging his, you know, like when he gets his flow going, he gives himself a little shot and he's good. He's not the only one in the classroom doing this. There's at least two other people out of 40, maybe 50 people that are doing this modulation of their blood sugar shit while we're sitting there, right? I was like, oh my God, the woman should have been thrown out of a window. But I said to her, you know, hey, afterwards, like, hey, you know, is there another class? Is there like, what is this? And she goes, this is all there is. I think this is all there is? Jesus, you know, from a pure insurance company owning standpoint, because I would, you know, you figure they're evil, right? Insurance company owners are evil. They are. You know, that's why the actuaries are there. So you can blame the actuaries for all the evil shit that you're going to do. They would probably sit there and say, you know, these people are going to cost us a lot of money. I don't really think we should continue to do this. We should get somebody in here who knows what the hell they're doing or cares. Didn't happen. So anyway, I go home. Those of you who are interested, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because this is not just diabetes. We're just talking sugar intake. This is a book from, Better Homes and Gardens, right? Better Homes and Gardens. Been around forever. It's probably owned by Lockheed Martin now, but that's okay. I don't know why this thing's bouncing. Because that's how heavy the rain is. It's making the camera bounce. In it is a problematic issue because a number of the things that they do, which is why I used to think some vegetarians were a joke, is eat the stuff that you love, but keep your sugar down. Sounds easy. Probably not easy. You know? But it's a start. I used to use that book for some things. Basically, I was checking to make sure, like I cooked everything in olive oil. I used butter for some things, but like I wasn't sure because that was actually a heart issue more than anything else. What I did do was I had hired a trainer for my mother because at that time, she wasn't gonna wanna do what I was. She wasn't interested in pulling a freaking truck or whatever dumb shit I was thinking of, picking up a refrigerator and throwing it at people. So the guy came up with a couple things for a meal plan. I did it with her, and it was a portion control meal plan, which was fine because portion control does help. We eliminated pastas. We eliminated any sugar drink with actual sugar drink. Pineapple juice. Apple juice, most of the time I diluted it for because I was like a revolt in my house. We couldn't have something like that. Orange juice was gone. Grapefruit juice went because of medication anyway. A lot of medications for some reason have a problem with that. But what I did get out of it, and this is how, it's not a product review because it's not enough. This little brand here, right? Food for Life. This Ezekiel one. I don't know if you can see it because I don't want to keep throwing this out. It's like five something a loaf. All right. We got involved in this through that. The sprouted grains don't have the same issue that the enriched white flour is going to have as far as causing the sugar spike in your body. So I let her have this. It was very good. We did see an actual, because I had to do the metering every day. She had to meter it 2-3 times a day at first, and then it went down to a day. And then we were able to put it just onto insulin. You know, just a standard dose, which doesn't actually cure it because we didn't continue working out to get the weight down or working out to get the cardiovascular together. Diabetes seems to be your body's punishment for being lazy or what, you know, somebody's going to come on and say, that's not true. Once you become sedentary and you're just a food intake machine or a garbage intake machine because you're eating just shitty food all the time, diabetes is sure to come along. And it's a hard one to kick. You know, I always say it because I've seen it. I wish I could get a real person on, you know, at some future date that is an actual knowledgeable, no dog in the fight person who could explain possible cures for diabetes. What can we do to keep it? You don't want it to come in, so you have to keep it out. How can I keep it out forever? Well, you know, there are also people that are probably predisposed to it, like hypertension. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it was a horrible disease, like I said, when Miss Shirley had it. And that was the only way I could get my mother to do certain things was because I'd say, you remember what Miss Shirley looked like? Is that what you want? And that was usually enough because, you know, you think about losing your toes and your feet and you get diabetic nerve pain. I just bought some kind of shoe for her that was like $350 because they had to make something because of diabetic nerve pain in her feet. This was like a couple weeks before she died. And these things are brand new. What am I going to do with them, right? All that money being spent for a disease that looks like you could probably get a leash on at some point. And who knows, you know, it could happen to me because I'll go off and your second biggest sugar thing is going to be alcohol. You know, that's going to be a big thing. If you're drinking a lot of booze in general, there's obviously some issues that are going to be there. I'm not one to judge. I do drink. So I'm not going to tell you, oh, never drink, never drink. If you can avoid ever having drank, you probably, if you have children that have never drank, try to make sure they never do until, you know, you can't control them anymore. It's because, you know, I don't know, maybe you know, if you have a predisposition to addiction, if you're a self-medicating alcoholic or any of that stuff, there's a lot of terms. People like to throw a lot of terms on people. And I'm not, I don't want to sound new agey, but I don't really think a lot of them apply. It's because of the new agey people that we have to have it. You know, if you grew up in a culture of alcohol, which maybe the younger kids don't have so much with the parents, but like, you know, my grandmother's era and stuff like that, you're talking World War II, Korea, nobody's pussing around with beer. Everybody had beer. Beer was like water because nobody drank water. Hard liquor is what you drank. I remember being a bartender. I was like a bartender when I was like 9. From the time I was 9 till the time, Christ, I guess I was 19. My parents would have some kind of thing, or my dad actually, because my mother didn't drink. She drank very rarely. She had like, you know, some social, like pink squirrel, grasshopper stuff. The old man would drink whatever you put in front of him. And, it was hard, you know, and it was like Seagram 7, you know, Seagram 7, Canadian Club, all this like Depression era gangster freaking bullshit, you know. Dewar showed up, everybody thought, you know, they died and went to whatever, the Four Seasons, you know, because Dewar's was like, woo, Dewar's. But anyway, we're not talking about that stuff. So, what are we talking about? So sugar, yeah. Look at little stuff like this. This bread here, right? First of all, you don't need to have 17 slices of bread a day. I have one usually in the morning. I have peanut butter and jelly because I'm just used to it. You know, I should have on certain days, if it's going to be a big thing, then yeah, some oatmeal or something like that. But in general, just enough to get. Now I'm down to like one big meal later in the, like around 1:30, 2 o'clock. Then I'll have something smaller later on. Couldn't do that before because I'm cooking for two people. But, you know, you're at what you're at, right? Work what you work with. If you can make it where food's not the center of your life, that's really where you're gonna want to be, okay? All this other shit will go away if it's no longer the center of your life. I mean, I enjoy the idea of the Sunday dinner. You know, that was never real big in my family, but, you know, I know people that it was a big thing with. And that was good because also in a lot of places, especially in England, that was your big protein meal, was your Sunday roast. You know, any English people out there want to tell me about Sunday roast? I remember being in places that had a lot of English influence, expat communities. And I would go someplace, that's the only time you could get like roast beef or something, you know. During the week, everything was whatever. You eat like natives, and then on Sunday, the British club or somebody like that would have a do the roast, and they bring lamb in like from New Zealand or Australia or something like that. I like lamb. I know, you know, if you're gonna block me because of it, I love lamb. Lamb is delicious. Not mutton. You know, get yourself some nice little lamb chops, and you're all right. So, get rid of the soda. I mean, like I said, if you're starting out, like with what we've been discussing through the videos, how can I start? I don't have money for a nutritionist, I'm afraid, blah, blah, blah. Okay, look in your refrigerator. All of the soda goes out. Even if it's artificial sweetener, put it out. Just be done with soda. If you have to switch over to like a Crystal Light or something just because you have to, just don't drink 700 gallons of, you know. Make up one, like I'll make a pitcher and it actually fits in like 2-quart bottles, I think, something like that. I forget my liquid math. But normally I do green tea, brew up green tea and put that in quart bottles. I have that and I drink water. You know, if you just need a shot of something sweet because you can't stand yourself, have a bottle, squeeze bottle of honey. Take a little taste of honey. It's not going to kill you. Or agave nectar. Very good for you as far as that. That was an alternate I remember for people with diabetes was to have agave nectar because I used to use it with my mom. You can check with a nutritionist, but I believe that is the truth. If you had a decent, not Whole Foods, not, what's this other shit place up the street? I don't know. Whole Foods-esque, they're nice. I think since they've been getting rid of a lot of their staff, the knowledge has gone into the toilet because I've seen it. You know, you used to be able to go in there and you know, the person would converse with you and give you good ideas. They'll still do some stuff, but they're steering now. I feel that they're steering. Whole Foods wants to come on and debate me. That's fine. Now they're steering you towards certain products. Before it was very, you know, okay, let's see what we can think about. There was a great store, not that you're going to run out and go travel the world, but if you ever do get to Philadelphia and it's not on fire, there's a store called Essene, E-S-S-E-N-E, on 4th Street. And I'm not even there. I'm in Florida. I'm telling you about a place up there. Almost everybody that works there is like dedicated to the idea of that vegetarian nutrition for healing. There used to be a lady working there, and I can't remember, I don't think she works there anymore. She had shaved her head. I think she was getting into like a Buddhist nunish type of thing. Shaved head. How many girls are you gonna see with shaved head? She was in her probably in the late 30s, early 40s, so it's not like she's a young girl. Excellent. She's the one who got me straightened out with some alternatives for different products. That's what you really need that, you know, unless you're going to, and you can read the problem is it was saying, well, I'll just read the label. There's so much misinformation or disinformation that you'll read prior to it that you're like, oh my God, it's sometimes better to have people that have done trial and error. You know, I am not saying, yeah, that's the best thing. You know, people's experience. If I were to believe that, then, you know, I think that, you know, ex-junkies have something to really tell me. They don't. I know not to do heroin, okay? But this kind of thing, when you do product reviews and things like that, you're doing it for a reason. It's not for clickbait. It's because you either like the product or you don't. I don't like to do reviews on products that I don't like. The only time I did a review on a product I didn't like was that exercise program because they were taking, in my mind, they were taking advantage of people and viewership and they should have been shut down. And that's the only time you'll see me do negatives is when I think it's really taking advantage of people that don't, you know, are trying to get fit or trying to get a lifestyle or whatever. And these guys are just, you know, robbing them for money because it's like robbing old people on a telephone. It's the same kind of mentality in my mind. So take these incremental little changes. Try something like, once again, Food for Life. I forget who manufactures them. You can find them online. Believe it or not, the best-selling thing they have is not the bread they make, like an English muffin. I don't know what we call them, English muffins in the United States. Like a Thomas's English muffin, but they have cinnamon or something in them. And they can't keep those in the store. The bread, there's like four varieties. The sesame one I prefer just because it gives you a little more flavor. But if you're toasting them, they dry, you know, because of the material, they get a little drier. They don't turn into Melba toast unless you're not watching. But they are a little drier. Find yourself, if you want, find yourself a little diabetic book. Even better, if you are ready to really take a more extreme plunge and they're going to say, oh, goes against all rules. Look in the frozen food section in these lean cuisines and things like that. Okay, get something in there that's healthy choice. Look at the usually the sugar and salt's what you need. Just look at those two. Anything else, and they'll tell you what the calories are going to be. Have a few of those in the house, because if you're trying to plan your meals or whatever and you're hungry, have that instead of as a cheat meal. Have that instead of going and getting a Whopper with cheese. Eat one of those things and then drink like two glasses of water. It should do it. Eat oatmeal. Oatmeal will fill you up. You know, it does. If you're going to do it with raisins or something, always remember raisins have a lot of sugar. In fact, as fruit dries, the sugar actually goes up. So use less. You know, that would be the answer. You know, don't put 52 of them in there. Put 5 of them in there. You can actually put them in a little warm water. It starts to puff them up a bit. You know, and some dried fruits, that's like the way they do it. Like dried pepper, you put them in water. Some of them you put in the water, let it puff back up, and then you cut them. So take those ideas, go forward with that. Easiest one, like I said, I'll say it again because I say things over and over again. It's part of the onset of whatever I've got, Parkinson's or something, is get the juices, unless they're pure juices, and even then look at the sugars. Cranberry, pure cranberry is usually pretty good sugar-wise. Like I said, apples, you always got to watch. There's always some game going on with apple juice. Even the one that they have that says it's for WIC, for the children, because, you know, the whole story of WIC is just trying to, like, not let your baby starve. So, and babies love apple juice. Everybody loves apple juice. And then no pineapple. None of the sugary ones. I don't know about the South American stuff like the guavas and mangoes. I know that the mangoes out here, the one lady down the street, she's from Cuba. I think one of them was, they used to think it would help to slim you. I know if you have dragon fruit in Southeast Asia, dragon fruit was supposed to help you lose weight. I don't know if the idea is it's a diuretic or what, because it's really the seed of a cactus. It's a cactus seed. Didn't know that, did you? And the Vietnamese purple ones, I think, are the ones that everybody wants. You grow them in Thailand, but the Vietnamese ones are supposed to be better. But then again, when we were in Thailand dealing agriculture, the guy said, everybody in the South wants Chiang Mai pineapple and everybody in Chiang Mai wants Phuket or Pattaya area pineapples. It's just you want what you don't have. So that's that. But yeah, you'll find that the sugar thing will start to go away once you start working out more. It does. It's you know, and like I said, I personally am a pretty hard partier at times. I just haven't gotten around to it in a long time. At a certain point, you know, whatever's driving you is driving you. But I drink tequila, you know, tequila with nothing else. I got that from Miguel Esposito, if he's still alive, was supposed to cut your hangover. Just have some water and drink your tequila. Tequila is probably a lower caloric, and it also comes from, agave nectar. So the chemical changes in it are not the same as coming from grains. So if nothing else, you learn that you should drink tequila. I prefer, I used to like Casamigos, but Herradura, the black label. I don't have a bottle of it here. I did. Well, I wouldn't drink it right now anyway. I got to wait till the you don't want to start drinking during COVID because then you'd be like, you never get out of the house. You gotta wait till you're out there pretending that you're doing it to be social. So that's some ideas. If you guys have any ideas, you guys, I'm sorry, I don't want to say that. That's terrible. Any of you out there that have any other ideas on how you have been able to conquer the sugar monster, please put them in the comments, because that's really what it's all about. If you say I was able to do this, and don't put some shit link to a product, you know, because then I'll just have to go to that and erase it and then tell everybody what a shitbag you are. So if it's just that you did some substitution in your diet for different things, that would be something I think that the people would like to hear about. And like I said, water, 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 or water, 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 however you like to say it. It's going to solve a lot of issues. If you feel a little hunger pang, if you think it's not a real hunger pang, because like I said, a lot of it is going to be in here. Go drink a big glass of water. You know, the chance of you causing, what is it called? Alcohol intoxication. Alcohol. Woohoo! Water intoxication is very limited. That only has happened a couple of times. That's like, you see that in like that one fraternity hazing gone awry, and occasionally whatever water tortures. You won't have it. Don't worry about it. Have a big glass of water. Try to fight those cravings if you can. If you have something that you are going to have a little something of, just make it small. I get these, whatever the hell company is, those little peanut bars with the whatever's supposed to be on it that's not supposed to be sugar, but we know it is. I get them. They're about this freaking big anymore. You know, they started out like, you know, 8 inches. Now they're about 3 inches, the same wrapper. 3-inch long bar and a 7-inch wrapper. So that's about all. Like I said, just work on that, and we'll come back to that topic later on. And that's all. Have a good weekend.